I'll start from the monthly chart. So this is for the investors, the position traders. And yes, during this whole zone, even since April there, the price of gold was stretched from its 36-month moving average. Again, it doesn't mean it implodes. It just means that if you look at this objectively, the best entry points were back here. They're somewhere where the price was close to the moving averages. So the money flows are going back into the SPX. The gold to SPX ratio starts faltering. So that's this chart, 2013. You see even the gold starting to break down, gold to SPX ratio starting to break down. SPX is coiled and tight, nice, beautiful, huge pattern breaking out. That's when you flip back. So we're not even close to that yet, Andy, right? Because we still haven't broken out versus SPX. So we're not even at the end of the golden bull era. The golden bull era starts once you break out versus SPX, but also once the SPX starts breaking down. You absolutely need the SPX to break down to activate. But that's the top in gold. And if I do 1.5 times, let's say 7,000, it brings the price of gold close to 10,000. So that's how I came up with that number. It's not random. It's based on like previous times.
Yeah,
on the previous times, and it did that in the 70s. So people always think gold like moves against the stock market. No, look, I'll show you guys. It moves alongside the stock market.
Patrick Karim, North Star Bad Charts. Good afternoon or good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Andy. I'm doing great. Can't wait to catch up.
Yeah, great to have you on here, man. And I'm following you and on LinkedIn and X, all of the posts that you did. You're very active to all my viewers and listeners. And it's like, if you want up to minute updates, I wouldn't say up to minute, but if you want real time updates, that's really the place to go for Patrick here. But very pleased to have you on. Let's talk about gold, the miners. Let's talk about silver. And if we have time, we'll work in oil. But let's start with gold. We have talked for the past, it's been several weeks, if not months. We talked about the stretch in gold, how it's getting stretched, how we are expecting a pullback, how good it would be good for gold to pull back, and it finally pulled back.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah, nobody wants to, when profits are just flowing in there, nobody wants to hear any type of bearish roadmap. But I wouldn't even say bearish. I would say not as bullish roadmap, because it's not binary, right? Because somebody's not presenting to you a bullish roadmap doesn't mean he's bearish, right? It's you're bullish and then you're agnostic when you're not sure, and then you're bearish. But it takes time before you get bullish to bearish. People think it's binary. Are you bearish or bullish? No, sometimes I'm nothing. If the price is going sideways, why would I be something? So you guys, you do have that neutral option where you could not jump in, stay on the sidelines and wait until you become bullish again. But I will 100% share my screen.
You know, that's a great point. I want to really just talk about that real quick, because that's exactly what it was. It doesn't mean we're bearish. It doesn't mean we're bearish longer term to all the stackers out there or whatever have you. But we were getting very nervous, even agnostic, if you would, just like this is too stretched of a trade. It doesn't mean it can't go up in the next several coming months, but just at that moment of time, we were concerned, if you would, and we would not want to enter in. So anyways, go ahead, Patrick.
Well, that's right. So I'll start from the monthly chart. So this is for the investors, the position traders. And yes, during this whole zone, even since April there, the price of gold was stretched from its 36-month moving average. Again, it doesn't mean it implodes. It just means that if you look at this objectively, the best entry points were back here. They're somewhere where the price was close to the moving averages. You could see it visually here, but here at the bottom pane is the distance from that red line, the distance from the 36-month moving average. Coiled and tight. I like repeating myself, because eventually it'll stick in people's minds, the criterias. So coiled and tight and starting to explode away, coiled and tight, starting to explode away. Those are where you make the greatest gains in the shortest amount of time. So I call that the rot. the returns over time. Maybe it's not a good initials, but anyways, that's what it is.
It
So the
works.
returns, it
It
worked. Yeah, people are gonna remind it. So you always want to be in a high ROT area. A high ROT area is when you have the greatest gains in the shortest amount of time. Like that's the dream, right? Like, give me that money, and I don't want to waste my lifespan waiting 20 years for this. So those occur, or have a higher likelihood of happening when you're down here, when you're coiling tight and breaking out above, right? Here you had one in 2019. Back here, coiled and tight, moving up. Yeah, you had another one going up here. But look, so since April, we've been, even if gold outperformed itself, it kept going up. It still wasn't a low risk entry. So it still hasn't broken down on the monthly chart. So on the monthly chart, it's still riding high until it closes below that rising support line. People holding on to it can hold on to it. Selling into strength is very hard. Maybe with hindsight, you'll say, okay, well, maybe this was the peak. You could always wait for a little bit more weakness to confirm, okay, look, this might stall longer than I think. It might go down more than I think. And I'm not willing to hang on 6 months, a year. I'm not willing to go down 10, 20%. I will, withdraw myself. It's everybody has to decide that ahead of time what they want to do. So let's see on the weekly, before the monthly rolls over, let's see on the weekly reset chart. I kept those monthly defined lines. I think I'm going to remove them just to keep it clean. Here was stretched. So look at the bottom here, guys, the bottom pane. We were super stretched from that moving average, and we did lose a shorter term rising trend line here, which means you're in the lower ROT zone, just like it happened here. Like here you lost it, price went sideways, and it continued upwards after. It had a nice, beautiful pull flag continuation pattern. I wonder if the target was reached here. Let's see here. We had a nice pull flag here. Where is my arrow here? And yeah, look at that. The target was reached, Andy. Beautiful classical TA measured move. Sometimes you overshoot, sometimes you don't overshoot, you undershoot. But here you had pretty much a pull flag from pull flag, and that measured move, that energy in that consolidation pattern. And then yeah, you reached it there. So from a classical TA perspective, that move is done. You would expect some type of, again, on the weekly chart, another correction to let that moving average catch up. You did lose rising momentum on the weekly, so this is good. You're starting to get the reset here. Eventually, you will have something like this, Andy. Like you'll have another line somewhere here. I don't know where it is, and that will be the next lower risk entry there. You have them all the time. These there, they guys. Don't worry, they'll come back, these opportunities. But because it's stretched on the monthly, very stretched. Each time you have a correction on the weekly time frame, it has less and less chance of resolving bullishly. Eventually, and I like saying this, all market tops or all tops on the monthly time frame start with a bullish looking correction that failed on the smaller time frames. And we'll have to see with hindsight where this lands. But I'll put some levels here. So gold right now, no bueno. Look, it's going to take I think it even lost a rising support line right here on the weekly, on the shorter term one. So 100% correction mode here. This is likely to go test at least that 12-week moving average, which is at 3,800 here and climbing. But if that fails, might get a bigger correction where we tag that 36-week moving average. So it's going to look probably something like this. Let's say a little bounce here, maybe a move here. Then everybody gets, oh, I think it's resolved here. I don't,
Right.
this, you got to expect something like this. This is a bullish resolution. If ever, so here there's no entry. You stay on the sidelines. You wait until this resolves bullishly. If it doesn't do that, you got to be careful, because if you jump in now thinking you're getting a deal, what if that longer term rising support fails? And now the monthly goes into correction mode and needs a much bigger reset. I'll go back on the monthly there to show you guys like how low that could go. Look, a reset could go all the way back. A bullish reset goes to the 12-month moving average, was at 3,300 now. So imagine tagging 3,300. And if that fails, then you sometimes get these GFC type of retags of the 3-year moving average, the 36-month moving average. And that right now it's at 2,536. But by the time we test it, it's going to be much higher, that moving average. So we're probably going to have a range here. This is probably the first support, 3,400. And that fails, then we're probably going to go maybe to 2,700. So one step at a time. But yeah, here I would probably expect some type of bounce at 3,400 there as a low point on
That's what I was
the.
going to get at, your expectations here, and I guess what, yeah, were the next good entries, not only good entries, but yeah, just looking at the charts, what to expect, if you would. So on that, and I want to be clear here too, this is just very normal. Correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick. Meaning you get a great run up, then you have a sideways
Yeah.
consolidation or a correction to the downside. This is very normal in trading. And
Sure.
investing. Go ahead.
You need those. Like they've happened
Right?
all over again. In the 2000s, you had a run up, sideways move, then it either consolidates to the 12-month moving average or the 36-month. Then you don't know how deep it's going to go. So you have to wait until it actually breaks out. Here you had another one, another. Well, look here at the distance from moving average. If you see that line going down, that means the moving average is catching up to the price. The price either could be going downward, sideways, or even up a little bit, but those are the resets. Like here you had a reset from 2003 all the way to 2005. Here you had a reset from 2006 all the way to 2007. Here you had a reset from the 2008 all the way to 2009. That's a GFC one. And then, but sometimes at the end of the road, you'll get a reset that's not a reset. Well, it's a huge reset. It's a bear market, right? So eventually one of these normal looking resets will not be the ultimate one, but I doubt that because I'll show you the gold to I'll show you on this chart here because of gold versus SPX. Here's gold versus SPX because we still haven't broken out yet versus SPX because we still haven't run for 10 years hot versus SPX like we did back in the 2000s all the way to 2013. There's much more gas tank, much more fuel in the reservoir in that gas tank. So the correction now we have in gold, while it could be important, it's probably not the end of the road for gold. Gold, I suspect, will go like five digits there before it's all said and done there. Gold, when it peaks versus the stock market, it's the stock market is also back at its highs or the area where it was when it first broke down. So let's say gold SPX hasn't broken down yet, but let's say SPX does break down at these levels, whatever 6,800, and with hindsight that was the level 6,800, and then gold breaks out here versus SPX. Here I have a ratio of 1.49, so let's say 1.5. So that's how much multiply the share price of the SPX when it peaks here. And that's how much gold is going to be worth. So let's say this is how it usually plays out. SPX, let's say it starts entering a 10-year bear market or 10-year like sideways move. It goes down, goes up, goes down, goes up. When it finally goes back up to the same levels it was when it entered this huge consolidation, so let's say it's 6,800 or 7,000, gold usually is going to peak with the SPX going up, but before the SPX breaks out. So when the SPX breaks out, that's it. SPX continues on to a new bull era, but that's the top in gold. And if I do 1.5 times, let's say 7,000, it brings the price of gold close to 10,000. So that's how I came
10 grand,
up with that number. It's not random. It's based on like previous.
previous times, yeah.
Yeah, on the previous times. And it did that in the 70s. So people always think gold like moves against the stock market. No, look, I'll show you guys. It moves alongside the stock market. It loves going up alongside the stock market. But there's periods where, because of that ratio chart, it here, you see, look at the tooth, look at the, I'll show you. This is beautiful. So here you have the GF, the 2000.com bubble. SPX goes down, gold goes down a little bit, but bottoms right here, bottoms like way before the stock market ever hits a bottom. Gold starts going up. The SPX going down, so that means the gold to SPX ratio is shooting upwards. So that's a breakout in favor of gold. It's perfect. But look at here, gold kept going up, but look at the SPX doesn't go down forever. SPX, there's like all that destruction of purchasing power helps put a floor eventually under the SPX. SPX goes up. Look, gold goes up alongside the SPX. During this, gold went up faster than the SPX. So while people say, look, the SPX is in recovery mode, fine, you could go long SPX. But if you look at the ratio chart and you'll see gold trending upwards above important moving averages against the SPX, you'll say, well, okay, fine, SPX is going up, but gold is going up alongside SPX. And look here, SPX starting to top out at the same level it did back in the dot-com bubble. SPX falters. Gold goes down also alongside the SPX for a little while, bottoms before the SPX bottoms, and then gold starts recovering way before SPX. SPX goes up also, but gold's still outperforming SPX. So while both are going up together, gold is going up faster, so you should be long gold. But look what happens here. I'm going to draw this line here. Do, 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 do. When the SPX finally breaks out there above, I can move that. When SPX breaks out of this huge sideways move there, look what happens to gold. That final correction in gold falls apart. So sometimes there's clues you can look with macro charts instead of just looking, oh, look, this looks like a bullish flag here for gold, right? It's breaking out. Well, because right here SPX was breaking out on its own price chart, that's exactly the moment where gold, or even a couple of months before gold started faltering. And that should have been a big clue, seeing the SPX break out of this 10-year consolidation pattern. That should have been clue, look, that this could be it for gold. So gold actually tops when SPX is close to breaking out and rolls over. So that's why, and look here, so the gold to SPX ratio went up during this whole period, but when SPX is back at the same level as it was. So at 1500 here, about 1500 here, when it breaks out, that's when gold tops. So gold does not top when the SPX is in disaster. No, gold tops out when SPX has finished its 10-year hiatus and breaks out. So the money flows are going back into the SPX. The gold to SPX ratio starts faltering. So that's this chart, 2013. You see, even the gold starting to break down, gold to SPX ratio starting to break down. SPX is coiled and tight, nice, beautiful, huge pattern breaking out. That's when you flip back. So we're not even close to that yet, Andy, right? Because we still haven't broken out versus SPX. So we're not even at the end of the golden bull era. The golden bull era starts once you break out versus SPX, but also once the SPX starts breaking down. You absolutely need the SPX to break down to activate all this roadmap there, and it hasn't started yet.
And you brought up something really key, I think, to all of our viewers and listeners. It's money flow, right? And it makes a lot of sense if you think of it like that, if it's money flow, right? Because then if it's the SPX is breaking down and gold is looking to break out, that's where the money's going to flow. Correct me if I'm wrong, correct?
Yeah, it's exactly the way you should see it. And maybe it's like a huge river coming, and then there's like a needle, or and then it's going more in favor of gold. You'll have better chances, you'll have smaller drawdowns, you'll have better chances of having a successful trade. You'll better have the dips will be easier to get bought. The corrections along the way will have a higher chance of resolving upwards. Everything's in your favor because that hedge fund money, that pension fund money, whatever, that big money will keep buying regularly, right, quarterly or whatever. It's just gonna keep, whenever people are selling to take profit, more money's overriding that shorter term selling, and it keeps putting a floor. That's once you've identified that, you can sleep well at night because you're just that big money's gonna come and save you most of the time. So when that big money's not there anymore, those huge capital flows are not going in as much. Oh goodness, you never know when you're gonna get that rug pulled because they're going to be putting their money somewhere else. So people, when they'll be, selling to take money, their profits, then those corrections, there might be no floor under it, right? The correction might last longer. It could even be the start of a bear market, but the setup's 100% there. And I have to remind people, back in the 60s, 70s, this is it. Silver, gold was pegged, so it's tough. But if you use silver, I'll jump to silver,
Yeah,
XAGU.
please. Yeah.
Let's go to silver. And I'll put silver on this step line chart. I'll remove these indicators just to clean up the chart. Move that. So what I have here is the SPX from 1802, or I think they recreated it because I don't think it existed back then. So here's SPX, that blue line, and here's silver. Look at that. After the Great Depression, the crash there of 1929 there. Look at that. Silver and the SPX trended up together. You can't see this if you put the gold chart, because it was pegged, and then the market forces forced them to unpeg it because silver, oil, everything was going up. So we're in a region right here about there. We're having a glory year where silver broke out on its own bull market. The stock market's still going up. We're somewhere here until the ratio chart breaks out convincingly in favor of silver versus SPX, convincingly in favor of gold versus SPX, and the SPX starts actually to show. Here, let's say you get here's the SPX actually falling apart. Then it drags down silver alongside with it. But after that, on the onset of that, while the stock market, and this is really like macro stuff, while the stock market goes sideways for 67 all the way to 80 for 12, 13, 14 years or 10 years. Look what happened to silver. Silver went bonkers, uranium went bonkers, gold, everything. Like, get a chart of the 70s. So the run-up right now is that destruction of purchasing power, that inflation cycle. And I'll overlay another chart, guys, which is kind of important. US 10-year yields.
I was going to go to bonds. Well done. Go ahead.
Well, look at the yields. Look at that green line, guys. You see the yields going down? It drags everything. Well, here, when the bonds are, or the yields are bottoming, the yields are starting to go up. It's helping that inflation. It's helping the destruction of purchasing power is helping the U.S. equities and gold and silver. It's helping put a floor, right? Because if I'm destroying your U.S. dollar purchasing power, you're going to need more of those U.S. dollars to buy those same goods. So it's helping put a floor under that. But if there's too much of it, then after that, it breaks the dam, and then I don't know, the price to earning ratios, the margins, all that stuff for the growth stocks, it doesn't make sense anymore. Then they just hibernate. So look at what's happening here again. We're having another. This is what I like the yields right now. We're probably going to head into more of a disinflation right now on the shorter term. So, but oh goodness, it's that final. Whenever I let go. I'm just gonna remove here the SPX. Here, remove silver. I can leave silver there. But look what's happening here, the patterns.
That's huge. That's great.
So I think we're way more, and look, it's repeating again, like silver's going up, silver's going up, stock market's going up, stock market's going up, the yields are going up, yields going up, until there's too much pressure, and this after that. I don't know when the stock market falters, probably with the next recession, if that's too much, there's too much pressure on it. Then silver corrects hard, gold corrects hard, everything corrects hard. But on the onset of that, then that's when we get that 10-year sideways move for US equities. And even while they bottom and they recover, you're going to be better off being in gold and silver and oil as that gold versus SPX chart trends upwards. There's no reason to be long, no matter what gold or SPX is doing, no matter what they're doing, whether they're going up or down. If that chart, if the gold versus SPX chart is trending upwards, it's telling you that if you had a balance, if you had a portfolio, you had 100K, not financial advice, but you had 100K, it tells you that you should be way more favoring gold, holding more gold than US stocks. As that ratio goes up, if you were forced to hold either of them, right? So we're ready. We got rejected here, Andy. Just to mention, we got a huge rejection last month. Gold could not manage to break out, but usually this breakout line here, these breakouts in favor of gold versus SPX happen not because gold's going up in price, but because the SPX is going down in price.
And also, that looks like a triple top there. And I say top very loosely. Usually, when you get the fourth one, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a very beautiful thing if for the bulls.
Yeah,
Correct?
well, once you close above it, it's brilliant. The more touches, forget like people there's they put, oh, you can't have a double top triple, like whatever that stuff is. I don't. The only thing I'm noticing here is one reaction, two reaction, three reactions, four reactions, four important reactions, or at least one, two, three important reactions, and within that, many smaller reactions, huge wicks. So that line is uber, uber, uber important. It's uber resistance, but at the same time, it becomes a uber breakout line. And a breakout line, people is uber is a breakout line is resistance. So sometimes people say, oh, it's a breakout line, and they front run it. No, that breakout line, if you're below it, that's huge resistance. But once we close above it, it's going to be the signal of a lifetime. It's going to be the signal that you're going to say, okay, well, it's done. It's done. You have to trust it. It might fail, but if you had to bet on something that had the odds heavily skewed in your favor, it would be a breakout of that line, especially if it happens with the stock market crashing, with the stock, even with gold going down. Like, that's probably going to break out this line, Andy, with gold and SPX going down, gold going down less. And I don't care what's happening to gold and the SPX. Well, I want to see the SPX go down, but even if gold's going down there and we have a confirmed breakout here, I'll be the happiest camper. Yeah, I'll just be a
Signal.
happy camper.
I had a friend that ran a hedge fund that he would pairs trade, and this is the kind of ratios he would absolutely kind of charts he would absolutely look like. And what that means to all my viewers and listeners, he would go long one asset and short another asset that were related, and he'd just play these ratios here. And so they look at this stuff. The big fat hedge
Yes.
funds of the world look at this. So.
People sometimes say, oh, ratio charts, they don't make sense. Or price it in apples, price it in horses, whatever. Guys, you could play that. These are price charts, you could trade both and you could reproduce exactly that chart by doing what you said, going long the numerator and the shorting the denominator. And you'll get exactly that performance. You'll reproduce that chart.
Let's pivot to miners here quickly here. We also had a huge, which was expected, a huge drawdown in the miners. Where are we at with those? Are we trying to find a short-term bottom to run again? Or yeah, talk to me about that.
Yeah, we're far from a next low risk entry there. We're just
Look at
so
that. That's so stretched.
it's gonna take time, buddy. It's gonna take time, Andy. It's guy, it's like people did not want to hear that. Again, like I don't want to be the guy who says I told you so, but there's stuff you like sometimes you put out a roadmap, it doesn't play out, price keeps going up. But sometimes it's just like you're there, you're observing stuff, clues. You have to report it, right? I see, like, I'm like a news reporter there. I see clues there. Guys, look, I'm just telling you, the odds are of a tornado. Look, there's winds are there. There's a, I don't know, like, find all the analogies you want there. But you're trying to be objective, and people say it's different. Because of the gold price, the miners, they're still lagging. I heard all that stuff, but people got to realize how much of that was already priced in. How do I know? How do I know that what was, how. So, anyways, now this needs a good reset. On the monthly chart, it barely, I'm gonna zoom in for you guys. My goodness, it barely started resetting. So, what type of correction are we gonna have here? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Until we get a close above here, you just yeah. This is the index of miners, of course. Like, we don't know there what's gonna happen. Ideally, it does this, but that is not gonna be a full reset here. It's not gonna be an equivalent low risk entry. To get an equivalent low risk entry like you had back here there, when you're coiled and tight close to that longer term moving average, I'll draw it there so you could like visualize it.
By the way, that breakout in 24, you were on my show right when it was breaking out, and you called that breakout. I tell all my viewers and listeners, go do some research. Search for Patrick on my show. We were talking about that breakout while it was happening. Sometimes you're
Goodness.
good and sometimes you're lucky, I guess.
Yeah, the timing. Look, we could have done a whole bunch of interviews when nothing was happening and people get upset. They do the skeleton meme, like I'm waiting forever. Remember that those like, but at the end of the day, yeah, it just happened there that
You
stuff was
literally
actually.
said, oh, wow, this looks really good. It's actually breaking out. And then I had comments on that video that actually says, as Patrick talking, it's breaking out.
And people don't trust them because it went down for so long that they're mentally abused and destroyed. And what do you mean a breakout? We're gonna have another rug pull. How many times have I heard that silver's like breaking out? Patrick, look, don't worry. The gangsters, the banksters, they're gonna short and they're gonna kill it. But goodness, silver's not that. It's not at $10 anymore. It's not at $20 anymore. It's not even
Right.
at $40. Like, it's up there. It's like, guys, it's done. We're the banksters. It's like, don't live in fear, guys. If there's a breakout, there's a breakout. You don't listen to the narratives. Who knows? Maybe the banksters have went long without even telling you. Like, I don't know. Like, but this would be a good consolidation pattern. This would be nice there. This would be a pretty important reset. So that brings us like to the end of next year there before we get the next opportunity. Maybe it could be faster, but you want these. Even in the 70s, like, I don't want it. The 70s, you had some crazy corrections there. My goodness, it's like 75 there. I don't know. I don't want to scare people, but sometimes corrections, they falter.
And corrections are good too. Again, I can't emphasize that enough, just to bring it separates the strong the weak from the strong, if you would, strong hands from the weak hands. And also, if you're investing in miners as I have and do, and also I'm sitting on a lot of cash, but it also separates good mining companies from bad mining companies, right? So corrections are inevitable and they're good. So you have to
You
be
need to
careful with that.
clean the. It's like there's a whole bunch of garbage there. Even some shady companies are. They're probably their charts probably look great also. Who knows? But you need these corrections. So let's see how long this one's going to go on the weekly. If you want to get a little sneak peek into the future, you could look at the weekly. If the weekly is reset, and the weekly is, let me zoom in. It's still in correction mode. Eventually, yeah, there's. We're gonna have some type of pattern here. I don't know how it's gonna look like. We just need more, it just needs more time. There's gonna be a pattern here. So we just gotta wait. This is the daily. Is the daily ready? No, I'll show you what the daily is doing. The daily. See, look at this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful rising support line. And when it failed, you gotta respect that there. And it failed hard. It fell hard. It fell hard. So you here there's a wall now. And yeah, you just gotta let that thing marinate a little bit more. You're still yeah, you're having a death cross here. So you gotta see what's gonna happen here. Eventually, maybe we'll get a oh goodness, it's my I can't let go of my mouse there, the final clicks. But we're not we're gonna need many, many, many more days there to figure this out there before we get some type of because remember, this could be what looks like a or because as soon as you have a position in something, you're biased and you want to see this, you want to see the bullish looking correction. But what if it's not that? What if it's I don't know. What if it's a bullish
Right
correction
there.
that falls apart there? I don't know, and it just cascades into some more pain and suffering. It's like or here there. Let's go back here. So here you had a bullish looking correction. That could be exactly where we're at now. Crazy, crazy run up. We had a nice bounce back. Then the chart, then it morphed this beautiful continuation pattern into existence. But after that, it ultimately failed. You could even hear false breakout. I could have called this a breakout. Then it falls through the apex and then closes below that. That's uber, uber bearish when you have your failed breakout and then you break down. And then a retest, and then we just went sideways for a long time there, and it went down and down and down. So this could, because the miners are so stretched, it could be a situation similar to that where the correction will be longer than what people can imagine. But again, all you have to do, guys, you don't have to front run any of this. I'm just laying out the possibilities of these roadmaps, and just wait. For people on the sideline, it's beautiful. You just wait, and people who are willing to endure that, they could hold on to it, you know. But you got look at the monthly again, guys. My goodness, you got to expect many months of correction here. I just don't. It's hard to
Guys, it
just.
was so stretched. And go back to all the interviews I've done with Patrick recently. We just said, this looks stretched. This is very stretched. This is very high risk. And then it happened.
And then
So.
you have these three like pull, flag, pull, flag, pull, all these measured moves, these classical TA measured moves, reach, reach, reach. So those are also some I wonder if this one also got reach. Like when you get classical TA measured moves getting reach, it's that energy that took to build that those patterns, even here, like even that one, look at that, was reach and overreach, right? So with hindsight, we're kind of, we know now where the dust is settling, where the correction is. But I remember here, even if I said it was stretched back here and the price kept going up, there's a lot of people say, oh, I told you so, told you so. But sometimes you just got to be patient because the price could sometimes it could exaggerate, like it likes exaggerating to the downside. It just exaggerates to the upside. And then if you let the dust settle and you look at the at like the area where it topped, it's very close often to these classical TA measurement moves, like the area of where it needs to take a little breather. So yeah, that's pretty much how the miners are right now. No lower risk entry, long term, still an uptrend, right? Still above that 12-month moving average, but you got to expect some weakness now and let the dust settle and let people capture their gains, profit
Count their
taking,
money,
whatever.
hopefully. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about oil, if you would, and we'll end on
Yes.
that. Yeah, curious for oil, and I'm looking at oil from a fundamental, if you would, but I'd love to see the technicals on it. So.
Sure. I will show you this chart there. My goodness, where is it? Remove all indicators. So that's the oil chart since 1861. And then I'll show you. I know it's a long time. Let's start.
Way
Yeah,
back.
super long ago. But I'll show you it's and look, here's a silver chart. I might have done this. And here's a silver chart overlaid.
Look at
Yeah, it's crazy.
that's
They track
crazy.
the macro. This is like it's kind of sobering because for and I don't want to break somebody's religion because I remember sometimes, let's say you somebody's let's say super religious, and then one day there's just an atheist guy who keeps putting in like whatever his, and then the guy says, oh man, I've been going to church every Sunday. Now that's like, and but once you flip whatever belief system you have, or let's say Bitcoiner, forget religion, let's say you're a Bitcoiner, whatever, you're a maxi, and then one day they keep looking at my charts and say, yeah, it doesn't matter what Bitcoin is or what it's supposed to do. It's tracking bigger capital flows. So this is what the chart I showed people when people say, well, silver is manipulated. Well, if it is manipulated, oil is
You did
manipulated
a
the
poor
same
job.
way.
Yeah.
Same way. So does JP Morgan have a stake in oil? I don't know. I don't think so. So what I think is happening right here is just these macro capital flows are carving out these charts. And no matter what the supply and demand, I think it's more simple supply and demand mechanics. I think there's symptoms to with this, right? That yield chart we showed at the beginning, right? The yields chart going starting to curve upwards. And so this is a yearly close basis. There are years where oil goes silver goes down where oil kept going up. There's years where oil goes up and silver goes down. It's not a perfect correlation, but the trend correlation is huge.
Yeah.
And I think there's a huge opportunity for oil. It's coming up. If gold's going up, if silver's going up, if gold versus SPX breaks out,
Yeah.
you gotta be bullish. You got to not be bullish immediately. You want the price to prove it to you, but you got to imagine, you got to put the odds of oil doing this are much higher than oil doing that.
Yeah, and
I
that is a
just,
great chart right
they're
there. Look at
just,
that, everybody. Go ahead.
yeah, the odds are oil is going up here. It's going up here. I would say 90% chance going up here, 10% chance. So even if we're like in a disinflation and oil, maybe that's my, one of my back thesis is it's pricing in that recession, right? The unemployment rate going up, the 10-year, the 10 minus the 2-year yields going up. If the cryptos are topping out now, maybe the markets are gonna be rolling over soon. That gold to SPX ratio, all those check marks in the background, they add up, right? So that's what helps me decide that yes, while there could be some short-term pain here for oil, and that's a yearly close basis, oil could like let's say vomit to $40. And still close the year close to where it is. But after that, on the onset of that, you have to favor oil. Like I have some, I think $300 oil is highly possible. I don't, people go bonkers. I don't see why they wouldn't, guys. Look at oil, guys. Oil used to be 20 cents. Okay, I know it's super far. It used to be 30 cents. It went up all the way to a dollar, like fivefold, right? To $1.25. Did that break the USA go in chaos? Was there anarchy? No, it's just destruction of purchasing power. Just gonna your wages go up. It's a trick. It's a mind trick, right? Wages go up. Yes. Oh, it's costing me $4 for a pint of milk instead of $1. But that's not the end all be all because your wages went up. It's just a trick on you, right? They're adding zeros. Oil
Right.
went all the way up here to, I'm not looking on the good side. That's, hold on. Here, oil was 52 cents. Then it went up to $2.50 here. No end of the world. It went from $3 all the way to 34, tenfold. It went up. Was that the end of the world? No. Then it
Right.
consolidated. Then it went up, I don't know, $18 all the way to $93. And now we're at 59. It could
Yep.
easily, like, these are classical TA measure moves. Look at that. I
Yeah.
could just add that on top. I have 300, almost 400, $350 oil here, right? Look at these moves. It's done it over and over. These explosions, consolidations, explosions, consolidations, explosions, consolidations. And if you hear me say consolidation, you should hear opportunity, right?
Yep.
You should see, look, there's going to be a crazy breakout line here. And that's probably where I'm going to buy oil. If ever it closes a year above 93, you could maybe go on the shorter time frames if you want to front run this a little bit there. But some oil charts are looking great there, like Shell Oil. Did you see the Shell Oil chart? My goodness.
No, go ahead and pull it up. It's
Look
also
at that.
going back to money flow too, like, right? Because money hasn't flown to oil. It's been an undervalued asset here, and then money will start flowing to oil. If you just think about it like that, all the big pensions, hedge funds, whatever, they're going to go to the most value trade and the most opportunistic trade.
And we'll be able to follow that with a chart breakout. So if
Yep,
the chart breaks out,
exactly.
it will confirm to you that there's more money going in than more than and less money going out, skewing these charts upwards, and that's how you make money. But look at the Shell Oil chart. Like, look at that. Look at this. I'll put on the line chart. This is the monthly Shell Oil. One touch, two touch, three touch, four touch. It's like, yeah, that's maybe a weak breakout here, so maybe it's not as pretty anymore. But the reset and the Shell Oil chart is massive. Look at that. Remember that distance from moving average there? Look at that coiled and tight.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% convinced there. I don't know if that's a legit breakout, but it's showing signs that it wants to eventually do this there. It's like we're not far
Yeah.
away from something like that there. So there's some huge charts there. Look at
And
the
when it breaks
miners.
out that chart, when it breaks out of that trend, it usually runs. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, this is a huge pattern there. If that breaks out there, I think the target's going to be here. And here you had a nice base expanding wedge. So this is probably going to be the target. If that breaks out, Shell Oils, should be heading up to like close to $100. But I think there's even dividends. It looks even better here, dividend adjusted. Like Shell Oil has been in an uptrend forever, dividend adjusted. So it's already broken out like a while back there on the dividend adjusted chart. So it's looking great. Like people holding Shell Oil there have been riding this nice uptrend there for a while. It's still resetting the momentum. So let's see where it's gonna break. But this is how. It looks like shorter term disinflation, that oil chart is still hasn't broken out. So it's probably some type of a recessionary, pricing in. But
We
once
get
we're
through
past
that.
the worst of
Yeah.
it, then oil is going to go bonkers. And hopefully the miners will be resetting. And maybe when oil pauses later on, the correction will be done for the miners. And like, they don't all move together, right? They're like gold goes
Yep.
up, then silver, then uranium, copper.
It
And
flows
because they
from here
move,
to here.
yeah, and because
Yeah.
they moved in a certain order previously, doesn't mean they'll move in exactly the same order this time. Except
Yeah.
oil, gold has keeps moving. He's the leader, man. For some reason, gold's always the leader.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, any final thoughts you have to all the viewers and listeners here from now, really going into the holidays? If I don't have you on again, what should people be looking at and considering?
Well, keep an eye on those levels. The reset's still in progress. So for all those, the miners, silver or gold, there's like it's still in correction mode. There's nothing to act upon, even on the shorter time frames. And you just gotta let that dust settle there. And the bigger the correction, the better it is for those who are on the sidelines. Because once you deploy your cash after big correction, you'll have higher chances of entering a high returns over time zone, a rod zone, and that's where you want to be.
Yep. So, to all my viewers and listeners, Patrick is really one of the good guys in here. He's always very responsive to me. He's become a friend of mine. I consider you a friend, Patrick. I want to thank you for that. And Patrick's probably the most objective, I think, TA guy out there. So, kudos to you for that. I think you're extremely objective
It's
despite
not
all of
easy.
the
It's not easy. Thanks. You're so nice. I come on your show. You're giving me too much compliments there, but it is tough to be objective. It is tough because every times it's super tough, but you have to imagine you own nothing. You don't have a position in anything. And I'd rather follow somebody who has no stake in the game because he's going to tell me how it is, you know? And people think the opposite. If somebody has a stake in the game, well, that guy, he's gonna be biased because he's not gonna want to lose money. So from that point on, all his decisions, he's telling you all his recommendations. I don't think they do it on purpose, but subconsciously, they'll look at the rose instead of looking at the what's the opposite of the rose? Like instead of seeing it, you know, they'll see the bullish scenarios instead of seeing the bearish scenarios. Yeah, it's tough to be unbiased there. Not easy.
Well, I have you on not only because you're a friend, but also just because of that. So I want to thank you for that. Patrick, if people want to follow you, do business with you, how do they go about doing that?
Goodness. All the free stuff on X, BadCharts1, NorthstarBadCharts.com. That's where you get all the detailed stuff, the chart requests, the master classes, whatever the knowledge base, all that stuff's there. And hang in there, guys. We're going to have a Black Friday coming up there at the end of the month there. So hold on if you want to get that 50% discount there. It's coming up soon, guys.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Patrick. Hope to have you on again soon.
Yes, it was an honor, Andy. Thanks, man.
Take care, man.